Good morning, and welcome to Overeaters Anonymous, a Vision for You Big Book study. My name is Dawn B., and I'm a recovered compulsive overeater from Southern California. Today's Tuesday, November 12, 2024, and this is the 10 a.m. Eastern Time meeting. Today we're reading from the Big Book, and we're on page 58, the fourth paragraph. Remember that we deal with alcohol through one paragraph ending, "May you find him now." We'll be commenting on this one paragraph today. Today's readers, 12 Steps, Lilan P., 12 Traditions, Jan L. Readers of the text, Wendy M., Sherry Z., and Alex K. The reference number for Monday, November 11th, 10 a.m. Eastern Time meeting is 21,903. That's 21903. And for this morning, Tuesday, November 12th, 7 a.m. Eastern Time meeting, the reference number is 21,905. That's 21905. Our newcomer greeter this morning is Hillary B., and Shelley E. will do the announcements. Thank you to everyone providing service for this meeting. OA Preamble. Overeaters Anonymous is a fellowship of individuals who, through shared experience, strength, and hope, are recovering from compulsive overeating. We welcome everyone who wants to stop eating compulsively. There are no dues or fees for members. We are self-supporting through our own contributions, neither soliciting nor accepting outside donations. OA is not affiliated with any public or private organization, political movement, ideology, or religious doctrine. We take no position on outside issues. Our primary purpose is to abstain from compulsive eating and compulsive food behaviors and to carry the message of recovery through the 12 steps of OA to those who still suffer. Our sole purpose, OA's fifth tradition states, each group has but one primary purpose: to carry its message to the compulsive overeater who still suffers. At a Vision for You Big Book study, our message is that people who suffer from compulsive overeating can recover through abstinence and the practice of the 12 steps and 12 traditions of Overeaters Anonymous. Here are the steps we took, which are suggested as a program of recovery. And I'll now ask Lilan P. to read the 12 steps of OA.
Thanks, Dawn. This is Lilan, gratefully recovering compulsive overeater in Germany. The 12 steps. 1. We admitted we were powerless over food, that our lives had become unmanageable. 2. Came to believe that a power greater than ourselves could restore us to sanity. 3. Made a decision to turn our will and our lives over to the care of God as we understood Him. 4. Made a searching and fearless moral inventory of ourselves. 5. Admitted to God, to ourselves, and to another human being the exact nature of our wrongs. 6. Were entirely ready to have God remove all these defects of character. 7. Humbly asked Him to remove our shortcomings. 8. Made a list of all persons we had harmed and became willing to make amends to them all. 9. Made direct amends to such people wherever possible, except when to do so would injure them or others. 10. Continued to take personal inventory, and when we were wrong, promptly admitted it. 11. Sought through prayer and meditation to improve our conscious contact with God as we understood Him, someone's unmuted, praying only for knowledge of His will for us and the power to carry that out. 12. Having had a spiritual awakening as the result of these steps, we tried to carry this message to compulsive overeaters and to practice these principles in all our affairs. Thank you for letting me be of service.
Thank you so much, Lilan P. And I'll now ask Jan L. to read the 12 traditions of OA. Star 1, Jan. Okay, perhaps she is having some technical difficulties. Alex,
I'm here. I'm sorry. Hello? Oh.
Yes, go ahead, Jan.
Yes, I'm sorry. Okay, the 12 traditions. 1, our common welfare should come first. Personal recovery depends upon OA unity. 2, For our group purpose, there is but one ultimate authority, a loving God, as he may express himself in our group conscience. Our leaders are but trusted servants. They do not govern. 3. The only requirement for OA membership is a desire to stop eating compulsively. 4. Each group should be autonomous except in matters affecting other groups or OA as a whole. 5. Each group has but one primary purpose, to carry the message to the compulsive overeater who still suffers. 6. An OA group ought never endorse, finance, or lend the OA name to any related facility or outside enterprise, lest problems of money, property, and prestige divert us from our primary purpose. 7. Every OA group ought to be fully self-supporting, declining outside contributions. 8. Overeaters Anonymous should remain forever non-professional, but our service centers may employ special workers. 9. OA, as such, ought never be organized, but we may create service boards or committees directly responsible to those they serve. 10. Overeaters Anonymous has no opinion on outside issues. Hence, the OA name ought never be drawn into public controversy. 11. Our public relations policy is based on attraction rather than promotion. We need always maintain personal anonymity at the level of press, radio, film, television, and other public media of communication. And 12, anonymity is the spiritual foundation of all these traditions, ever reminding us to place principles before personalities. Thank you for letting me serve and for all who are serving on this meeting.
Thank you so much, Jan L. How our meeting works. Our meeting focuses on the directions for recovery described in the Big Book of Alcoholics Anonymous. We read a paragraph or two from the literature and then stop and share on what was read. Anyone can share, but we ask that you keep your sharing to the topic and literature we are discussing and that you keep your share to approximately 3 minutes. Singleness of purpose reminds us to identify as compulsive overeaters only. Our abstinence requirement for moderators is 1 year and for readers is 6 months. There's no abstinence requirement for sharing on topic. This meeting does request that your sharing be directly linked to what was read. We are sharing what the directions in the Big Book mean to us. To share, press star 1 to unmute. Once you are done sharing, let us know by saying pass. Then press star 1 to mute your phone. To have a quiet meeting, everyone's phone except the speaker's should be muted. Today, we resume our study of the Big Book, and we're on page 58, the fourth paragraph. Remember that we deal with alcohol through one paragraph ending, "May you find him now." We'll be commenting on this one paragraph today. And I'll now ask Wendy M. to read and then share with us.
Yes, good morning, Wendy M., recovered in Boulder, Colorado. Thank you, Don, always for your service. Remember that we deal with alcohol, cunning, baffling, powerful. Without help, it is too much for us, but there is one who has all power. That one is God. May you find him now. Well, they get right to the point now, don't they? I love this book. It's so divinely inspired. And I first want to say, like, that the chapter is not called How It Doesn't Work. It's called How It Works. And the reason we're all on the line is because it works. Like, that is the testament. We're here because for somebody it's working, and for somebody it may not be, and they want what they have. They want what works. And it's quite simple that way, right? Because I spent my entire life looking for other ways to make it work, right? To deal with this thing called food. And we all did, until we didn't, right? Like, thank God we got, like, that's a miracle that we're on the line together. First word, remember, right? Okay, so I forget every day, which is why I probably do about 15 things a day for this program, not to be good, but because I need to remember, right? I need to get back with God, like, first thing in the morning. And also I need to remember because my disease is in my voice, so it sounds right. So it's going to tell me things like, go ahead and lie to your sponsor, go ahead and blow off your sponsee. That's a good idea. Like, it just, you know, it tells me things that are in my voice. The disease is powerful. So we remember so that we return to sanity. That's pretty much what's going on here. God gets me to sanity. And then the word cunning, baffling, powerful. You know, I have to say, I know we're supposed to say that food is cunning, baffling, and powerful. That's not exactly it for me. It's the ism, right? It's the alcohol ism, the overeating ism. That, it's my mind, of course. That's what's cunning. Cunning is what's deceitful. Baffling is what's perplexing, right? Like, things don't really match up. Like, I could say to you, oh, man, I ate so much last night. I'm never going to do it again. And then instantly I'm doing it again. Like I'm eating and I get sick and then I'm eating again. Like, that's the insanity, right? Or I'm treating someone horribly. I'm going to tell you I won't. And then I do it again, right? I put my hand on the hot stove. So that's the insanity, that perplexing nature, the deceit. And thank God, next words, it's too much for us. Well, thank God, right? Because I've been trying like a lot of different solutions, you know, lying to people, that makes sense, eating and saying I'm not, all of it. So it's too much for us. We are too much for ourselves. I am too much for myself, right? I am the problem. Self is the problem. This is the death of self, right? So it's too much for us. And I just wrote down next to the book, thank God, finally it's too much for me, because that's the only reason I'm going to do the next thing. It says here the word find, and you find him now. Well, how do I find God? Well, lots of ways. I do a 10-step and I tell somebody about my motives, right? Like, I was really just interested in Wendy, right? I tell people the truth and God appears. You see, God for me is not believing in God. It is an action. It is, I experience God constantly. And may you find God now. Thank you so much for letting me share.
Oh, thank you, Wendy M. What a great way to get us started. And I'm now going to take the names of people who would like to share. As a reminder, please keep the topic of your share focused on this paragraph. Although we value your experience, we ask that you limit your sharing to every third day in order that others might share their experiences too. So who would like to share with us?
Alex K.
Alex K. And Hillary, was it Hillary M? No, Joan Marie M. I'm sorry, yeah. Joan Marie M. Okay,
Donna.
And then I heard a Ian.
Donna D.
F. And who is before Donna?
Ian F, I think.
Okay. Anyone else?
And Trudy B.
Trudy B?
Yes.
Okay, let me tell you who I have in case I missed anyone. I have Alex K., Joan Marie M., Ian F., Donna B., and Trudy B. Was there someone else? Okay, let's go with that lineup. Great lineup. Alex K., please get us started, followed by Joan Marie.
Thank you, Dawn. Thank you, everyone, for being here. Alex K. in California, compulsive eater, given a reprieve for today. My disease is more powerful than me, and it can convince me that hurting myself with food is a good idea, the best idea I ever came up with. It leads to self-destruction. And when I fight it, I always lose, no matter how hard I try, no matter how much willpower I exert. I can't control it. The answer isn't to try harder. I thought that for years. If I just try harder, if I just try this, if I just try that. But it was all in vain. But the answer is to surrender, to ask for help, to rely on a power greater than myself, my higher power, who's more powerful than the disease, and Ken has removed my food obsession and compulsion. That's a miracle I never imagined could happen. And I had no conception or connection to a higher power when I first came, and I didn't think I wanted that. Little did I know that that relationship would turn out to be the most important thing in my life. And I'm so grateful I kept coming back, and I did find my higher power. And every day my spiritual connection grows stronger. Thank goodness, because that's my only defense. My only defense against the disease is my higher power. thank you, higher power, for helping me make healthy choices and take care of myself. Thank you for keeping me safe and protected. Thank you for saving my life. And thanks to you all for supporting me and helping me with my recovery today. Pass.
Thank you so much, Alex K. from California. Joan Marie M., it's your turn, followed by Ian F. And let us know where you're calling from.
Did you
star
call
one, Joe? Yep, I sure did.
Hey, I was unmuting at the time. Thank you, Dawn, for your service and everyone that's on the line that helps me stay focused on my recovery. I'm Joan Marie Miller. Oops, sorry. Joan Marie. Recovered in Nevada by God's grace, His power, and that's what it's all about. The whole book is about may you find Him now, and half measures availed us nothing. So what I lacked was power. You know, I believed in God, but I didn't allow His power to flow through me because I blocked it with the food that I shoved in my mouth. So I didn't have to feel or deal or any of the above. And what did it do? But it made me so lifeless, so tormented day and night. And today I can honestly say that I have neutrality around the food. Doesn't mean I'm perfect in every area of my life. Far from it. I'm an imperfect human being. But with God, all things are possible. So I'm so grateful for allowing me to share today. I love the program with all my heart. It saved my life, and it will save yours. So if you're new, just keep on listening, and then find a sponsor as soon as you can so you can work the steps, live the steps, and be totally free. That's what I'm talking about, and I will pass. Thank you.
Oh, thanks so much, Joan Marie M. from Nevada. Ian F., it's your turn, followed by Donna B., and just a quick reminder that we are talking about page 58 today, that fourth paragraph. Remember that we deal with alcohol through one paragraph ending, may you find Him now. So, Ian F., please share with us.
Hi, I'm Ian F. out of Indiana. Very grateful to be here. These shows are awesome. I love you guys. I was thinking about how the food works, and to me that is the cunning and baffling part of it, is that if I am restless or I'm resentful or I feel lonely, it will calm me down and it will make me feel less lonely, right? For a short period of time, and only long enough, you know, only so long, and then I have to have more to get the same effect. And I've heard a lot of people relate it to an abusive partner that is manipulative and abusive, but just kind enough that you want to stay and figure it out, you know. And you can swear this person off and say, F that, I'm never going to see you again, and then 3 months later, they walk in the door, and you're all, oh my God, they're so great. You know, that's what the food is like. And when you study the doctor's opinion, I know tons of people who have this problem with alcohol and with sugar, right? Where they go, man, when I start eating that, I can't stop. So I'm just not gonna. My father's like that. Just like, I'm just not gonna eat that because if I do, I won't stop. But it's not just that. It's that I have something in my brain that tells me I don't have that problem, even if I know from years of experience that I do. And so when I say that a higher power is necessary, what they mean is that impossible predicament on my plate, which is that my brain is messed up and I can't fix it with my brain because my brain is the problem. And my options are people who don't have it and don't understand, or other people whose brains are also messed up. So it takes a miracle. It really does. And that's what we're here today for, you know, whatever God means to you, that's what we're supposed to find. And it's really clear about that. That's all I got. Love y'all. I'll pass.
Thank you so much, Ian F. from Indiana. Donna B., it's your turn, followed by Trudy B.
Good morning. This is Donna B. I'm a recovered compulsive overeater, binge purge bulimic, and exercise bulimic, calling from Denver, Colorado. And in the sentence, may you find him now, I underlined the word now, and then I wrote, and now, and now, and now, and now. As others have alluded, this process of seeking God is not something that I can do, you know, just once. It's something that I am mandated to do over and over and over again. God could and would if he were sought, and it is my responsibility to seek that higher power, which for me means looking for miracles in my life and pausing for a moment to acknowledge them, looking for the completely and totally unlikely outcomes and acknowledging that I could not make those happen by myself. Seeking God is also acknowledging that I'm struggling, that I'm suffering, that I'm in pain, that something isn't working, and asking for help, and then actually noticing and acknowledging when help is delivered. And with that, I will pass. Thank you.
Thank you so much, Donna B. from Colorado. Trudy B., it's your turn, and then I'll be taking some more names. Star one, Trudy.
Okay. Thank you, Al. We forget to unmute. Yeah, hi, this is Trudy B. I'm from Maryland. I'm real glad to be here. I'm grateful for this program and my higher power. So help me, I can really say remember, because I am prone to forget. You don't see too many diseases around that you just forget that you have it. That's how I am with this disease. I had to run somewhere real quick, so I'm sort of out of breath. But I'm telling you, I can really forget, and I'm so grateful. That's why I keep coming back. Because I don't ever want to forget that I have this disease. And on top of that, I don't want to be in denial about it because it will slowly kill me. I can remember one time my husband, he was doing the wash. And I said to him, why are you shrinking my clothes? He said to me, I'm not shrinking your clothes. If I can't get into these, then my pants, it's hard. I said, I know you got to be shrinking them. So I said, I'll show him. I went out and brought some more pants. Now, this is the denial of this disease. I thought I was wearing a size 12, 14. I was wearing, and I would go buy extra large or large. Total denial about really having this disease, and it was slowly killing me because I was slowly gaining weight, blood pressure going up, cholesterol. So, and it wasn't getting any better because I thought I was in charge. That's why it says for me, remember, that we deal with alcohol, cunning and baffling, and it's powerful. And without God in this program, it is truly, truly too much for me because I can't do it by myself. And I guess God set it up for a selfish person like me that don't want to believe that I needed anybody else to help me. But I need to be here. I need to talk about it, and I need help on a day-to-day basis so I will not forget that I have this disease that's just laying in wait. And it wants to kill me, you know, every day that I breathe. It just wants to take me out. So I just wanted to comment on that about the remember. Thank you, and I'm going to pass. And again, I'm Trudy B.
Thank you so much, Trudy B. from Maryland. Wonderful. Well, I am now going to take a list of names of people who would like to share in this paragraph. We're talking about page 58. That fourth paragraph starts with, remember that we deal with alcohol, through the one paragraph ending, may you find him now. And please keep your topic of your share focused on this paragraph. Although we value your experience, we ask that you limit your sharing to every third day in order that others might share their experiences too. So who would like to share with us?
Janice
P.M. I heard Janice P.M. And who else was in there?
Bruce E.
Bruce E. And who else? Was that Jasmine M.?
Yeah.
Jasmine M.?
Yvette
W. Yvette. What was your initial, Yvette? Okay.
W.
Very good.
Lindsay.
Lindy. All right. I have Janice PM, Bruce E, Jasmine M, Yvette W, and Lindy. Did I miss anyone? Okay. Janice PM, please get us started, followed by Bruce E.
Well, thank you so much for this privilege to share. My name is Janice PM. I am a recovered compulsive overeater living outside of Boston. This paragraph, wow, remember, that's telling me don't forget, Janice, even though it's a new day, you have to remember that you're dealing, we are dealing with a cunning disease. Food, alcohol, money, those, et cetera, et cetera. But here we're talking about food. Now they're telling us exactly how powerful it is, this food, just a bite, or just a hop, or whatever. It's cunning. Yes, it's cunning. What does that mean to me? Well, I'll tell you what it means. It's very highly skilled. What does that mean? You mean a little half a donut is highly skilled? How can that be? It's an inanimate object, but it is. And it is baffling because I'm so confused. I know enough after trying and trying myself to find another way. And I knew another way, but I still picked it up. And then, of course, I didn't pick it up. And then I couldn't stop from picking it up. So that's a baffling, baffling disease to understand. And then it says, baffling, and here's the word, powerful. It's more powerful than me. Power, the problem that I have every day, every hour of the day, if I don't do these steps. So it says, you must. Power, I lack power. That's what my problem is. I lack the power to decide in my mind that I have to stop, that I can't have that, that it's too powerful for me. It's my master, right? And that if I feel this way and know it, without help, it's too much for us. Of course it is. I thought I could beat it for years, and try to find this way. But I couldn't because I was taught that I'm beyond human aid. So, but they're giving us a solution. Okay, if power is the problem, then they're giving us a solution, an answer to my problem. And there it is, capital letters. There is one who has all the power that I need. And in this, it's one is God, as you believe, as you understand that power. And, oh, boy, so when we start knowing this, that it's too powerful for me, I can't beat it, I can't, and I'm 82 years old, and I tried for years. And with that, may you find capital, H-I-M, now. And with that, I'm going to pass. Thanks.
Thank you so much, Janice P.M. from Massachusetts. Bruce E., it's your turn, followed by Jasmine M.
Well, thank you. This is Bruce E. I'm in Southwest Florida. I'm a recovered compulsive overeater, and I am very grateful for this call and the people on it and all the shares here this morning. It's really super. And this reading, you know, does hit home with me because food is cunning, baffling, and powerful. The problem is I got a brain, you know, that, and my brain makes decisions, and my brain is broken, and it makes poor decisions, you know, and this food thing just can take over my life, you know, it can just completely put me under. And cunning is food, cunning, baffling, powerful. Yeah, well, the food has power. I'm powerless over it. You know, I am totally powerless over it. But there is one that has all power, and that one is God. May you find him now. It's very clear in here that if I seek God, I'll find him, you know. And I find him not only just maybe in prayer and stuff, when I get down on my knees and pray the third step prayer and seventh step prayer, I think I make connection with him. But it comes from you guys. It comes the power of God, and God flows through you guys. And it just comes to me directly, both ways. And may you find him now. Well, that means that I got to do something. I got to do some work to make it happen. And I got to seek him. I got to go to the trouble of coming on these calls and sharing. I got to go to the trouble of, you know, talking to people about it and doing all the physical stuff, the weighing and the measuring and all of that, because it's cunning, baffling, and powerful. The baffling is I was always baffled by it. I could never understand why I couldn't do it myself. You know, it just baffled me. And it was more powerful than me. I could never figure out. I got to do this. I got to do this. I can't overeat today. I can't overeat today. I got to be, and then I'd go ahead and do it, you know, because it was more powerful than me. And cunning, it snuck up on me. The cunning is I'm thinking, yeah, I could eat a little bit of that. You know, I see other people eating it without impunity, but for me, you know, man, I can't eat it because I get punished by it. You know, it comes back and punishes me, and then I feel terrible about myself, and then I, you know, gotta get with you guys and get straightened out. So I need you guys. I need God. I'm finding him now. So I pass.
Time.
Pass.
Thank you so much, Bruce E. from Florida. Jasmine M., it's your turn, followed by Yvette W. Star 1, Jasmine.
Okay. Hello, can you hear me?
Oh, we sure can. Go ahead.
Thank you. I'm Jackie, not Jasmine.
Oh,
and that's okay. That opening sentence about powerful and cunning, I was depressed for quite a while, and I was eating, and a little bit turned into a little bit more. And today is my birthday, and I decided that with God's help, I can go back to my food plan, which made me feel really good. Eating junk does not make me feel good. Yeah, maybe for a moment. And then I have time that I'm supposed to eat. So I've got to stick to that rather than hit or miss. So like I said, today's my birthday. It's a new year. And with God's help, I will commit to getting back to my program. Thank you very much. I know.
Thank you so much, Jackie M. Did you want to let us know where you were calling from?
I'm in northern Michigan.
Michigan, perfect, and happy birthday.
Thank you.
All right, Yvette W., it's your turn, followed by Lynn D.
Hi, everybody. I'm Yvette W. from California. So when reading this paragraph, which I loved, it starts with the word remember, because I have a disease of amnesia, right? I never remember that I can't do something. And so remember that I deal with alcoholic food, cunning, baffling, powerful. And it's also patient. That's been my experience, is that I can put it away and I start to rest on my laurels and then I pick it back up. And I come in from another program. And for me, food has always been the crutch, meaning that I never fully had to release my will because I always had something. And so when things get hard, I work a perfect program when things are going great. You know, when things are going great, it's so much easier not to pick up food. It is so much easier not to go into those behaviors. For me, food behaviors are a huge thing. And it becomes so much easier to do that. And then something happens and I forget. And I fail to remember that I'm dealing with my alcoholic food. And then the patience, as it's, you know, as the food's been sitting there just kind of beckoning me, all of a sudden the baffling, cunning, powerful came in because it was patient enough to wait for me to forget that I don't have the power alone. And it goes in to say, without help, you know, for me, that help ultimately, God. But sometimes I get to God through people. I forget to reach out. I stop engaging. I stop responding to people. All of a sudden, this is just starting to snowball. And I believe that I don't need to look where I fell. I have to look where I tripped. So it's not that I relapsed. It's not that I picked up the food. Where did those behaviors start? Because that's what ultimately led me there. And I've done it. I haven't been in this program very long, but I've done it 3 times now where I've just, you know, picked it back up. And I forget that I don't have the power to stop. This isn't a matter of my willpower. This isn't a matter of my discipline. This is not a matter of my willingness or drive. My willingness in the sense that, am I willing to trust a power greater than me and trust that I'll be okay without this? And I don't always do that, you know? And so, and I like the comment on finding him now being an always thing. Like, it's always now. I always need to find him. And so anyhow, that's enough for me. Thank you.
Thank you so much, Yvette W. from California. We are talking today about page 58, the fourth paragraph. Remember that we deal with alcohol through one paragraph ending, may you find him now. And I'm going to have Lynn B. share, and then I'll take some more names. Go ahead, Lynn.
Thank you so much. I'm Lynn D. from a compulsive overeater from San Diego, California. And happy birthday to Jackie, and thank you for everyone that does service so that we can all be together on this meeting. Forgetfulness, it's been on my fear list for the last couple of times. You know, unfortunately, it runs, you know, dementia and Alzheimer's run in my family, and so it's always forefront in my mind. But apart from that, when I place it in regards to my disease and my compulsive overeating, like, sometimes I forget how the food made me feel, right? Like, I know the food made me feel bad. I know the food made me feel good at times, but I forget. And so, you know, especially when I'm talking to newcomers, I like to, I just had a really horrible experience getting rid of sugar. Like 2 weeks, I had this constant detox headache and I couldn't, you know, it's hard to like look, you know, open my eyes and all of those things, right? Like, so I just try to share that story of how, you know, it gets worse before it probably gets better. And I also forget I'm traveling, and I haven't traveled by myself in a while. So I'm forgetting all of these standard program things that I used to do. And I'm trying to write it all down, right? Bring a couple food items that you know you can eat no matter what. Bring your own coffee or tea that you just know doesn't have any sugar, additive sugar in it. Print out a list meeting of where you where I'm going to go, so that way, I can pop into a meeting. Figure out some time changes beforehand, so if I can listen to vision or not. All of these things that were so ingrained in me before, but I forgot. So I'm glad somebody reminded me, and for me, I have to talk things through with program people. It's like my number one reality check. And the other thing I was thinking about, when you find him now, whoa, that's that makes me want to jump up from my chair and go on an action adventure to get it done. That's pretty clear in the book. A pretty clear cut direction to move into action. And for me, I usually find when I do a little bit of action, I get a little bit of result. And so for me, I like that. that correlation is that makes sense to me. A little bit of action gets results. So if I'm just willing to do a little bit of action, maybe I can see a little bit of results. So anyway, thank you so much. With that, I'll pass.
Thank you, Lynn D. from California. And I'll now take a list of a couple people's names who would like to share on this paragraph. If you haven't shared in the last couple days, please give me your name.
Annabelle? Yes, in Florida.
In Toronto, Canada?
In Florida.
In Florida, I'm sorry. Okay, Annabelle and someone else?
Lee from New Mexico.
Lee from New Mexico. Okay, very good. Go ahead, Annabelle.
Yes, good morning. This is Annabelle Lee. I'm normally in Washington, but I'm traveling in Florida today. So good to be on the line. And I love this whole part of the reading, of course, but someone said something that said, you find him now. And I thought, now, every time, find him now. I always thought when I read this, it's about finding him. Now, the first time we come into program, okay, now I've got God, and now what do I do? But I realize it's just always in the moment, right now, find God, right now, find God. And maybe it's not meant to be written like that, but it just really hit me this morning, and I just want to thank whoever said that. So that's all I have to share, and I'm just really grateful to be absent.
Thank you so much, Annabelle from Florida. Lee, it's your turn, and please give me your initial.
Hi, it's Lee F. Mexico.
Lee F. is in Frank. Very yes. Good. Thank you.
Thank you. I push from HP this morning to share. I haven't shared on a meeting in quite a while, some weeks, and this paragraph just really got me because. I'm hating to say this out loud, I can feel it, but I'm in relapse. I have forgotten, I've been in program 30 years, and this current situation just really snuck up on me. I forgot that I don't eat sugar, not even in little doses, which fortunately not full blown, but yeah, it's creeping in. It's creeping in because I forgot. I forgot that I don't sometimes eat between my meals, that I just, quote unquote, need a little something to tide me over till the next meal. Because I don't snack, but I forgot that I don't. And just these little behaviors and that I'm kind of working the steps on my own. I don't currently have a sponsor and I need one and I know that. Because I forgot that I need one, and that's what works, and working the steps. And And I know all this. I know I'm very well versed in this program, but I am a quick forgetter, obviously, because here I am. And just cunning, baffling, powerful, super cunning, just sly like a little fox. And it's real subtle. And that's, I think, yeah, and that's what kind of got me to here. I've had some weight gain. I'm just in it. And I hate saying that out loud. Oh, my gosh. My disease is yelling at me right now to just be quiet, be quiet, be quiet. But I can't because, you know, I forget. And so this paragraph is just kind of the shot between the eyes that I needed. And hearing people share and just, you know, it's kind of that little prick of willingness that I needed, a mustard seed, if you will. So I'm grateful because I'm, you know, true testament that even after all this time, how easy it is to just forget and be drawn in. So with that, I'll pass. Thank you.
Thank you so much, Lee F. from New Mexico. And we have time for about a minute and a half share. If someone hasn't shared in the last couple of days, we'd like to take that.
Barbara E.
Barbara E., go ahead.
Okay, wow. That last share really spoke to me. There are no guarantees in this life, but there are opportunities. But it's up to me. I know I'll be a compulsive overeater today and tomorrow and always. And I had to accept that my main problem did center in my mind. I fixate on an insane idea that I needed something sweet and greasy and salty to go with it. And I couldn't stop thinking about it until I finally bought it and ate it and then went to another store for more. Then when I wanted to stop stuffing my face with food, I couldn't, but I still persisted in the delusion that I could and would someday be able to eat like a normal person, and that too had to be smashed. And when the illusion that food, lots of food, would solve my problem was blown out of the water, I surrendered. There was nothing left for me to do but bend down to pick up the spiritual toolkit and ask, no plea for help. I was a crazy person. I was selfish, self-centered, isolated, lonely, and I couldn't stop eating excessively, even though I know it was pure insanity. So this OA family has saved my life, and relapse happens. I know it's happened to me, but if I've learned something from it, I call it a life lesson. And then I just pick up and I go out and I have another day of opportunity. Have a great day, everyone.
Oh, thank you so much, Barbara E. from New Jersey. Beautiful way to wrap up the meeting. We will now close with a reading from the Big Book on page 164, followed by the Serenity Prayer. New people, please stay on the line. We'll give you a chance to announce your names and numbers if you haven't done that before. But now we ask Sherry Z to please read A Vision for You. Our book is meant to be suggestive only.
Good morning, visionaries. Good afternoon and good evening. I'm Sherry Z, recovered in Southern California. Our book is meant to be suggestive only. We realize we know only a little. God will constantly disclose more to you and to us. Ask him in your morning meditation what you can do each day for the man who is still sick. The answers will come if your own house is in order. But obviously you cannot transmit something you haven't got. See to it that your relationship with him is right and great events will come to pass for you and countless others. This is the great fact for us. Abandon yourself to God as you understand God. Admit your faults to him and to your fellows. Clear away the wreckage of your past. Give freely of what you find and join us. We shall be with you in the fellowship of the Spirit, and you will surely meet some of us who trudge the road of happy destiny. May God bless you and keep you until then. And I pass.